There's a misconception that Bitcoin is perhaps a bit of a dinosaur, that it's stagnant, unchanging. And in fact, I view this as 180 degrees opposite, in the sense that yes, Bitcoin is unchanging. You're moving a lot of money and you do want to verify, even if that's between exchanges, this sort of thing, you'll have an option to just have that address shown back to you. Cool, you're good, on your way. Boom, you don't even really know we're here.
If they're a business owner, they want to send and receive Bitcoin payments. How does Bronta fit into the flow?
The way Bronta started was I asked myself, how would I steal my own Bitcoin? And in short, the answer was I would trick myself into where I'm paying. It's like phishing or frauds or scams. So buy, sell, send, receive. And what we're introducing to the world is verify as the fifth operation that you can do with Bitcoin and Lightning.
Does Bronta have any plans to provide verification when it comes to stable coins?
So you can buy, sell, send, receive. But then when you send, you can verify who you're sending to is in fact real and never get scammed again.
Welcome to the Bitcoin Playbook, where we discuss proven strategies for using Bitcoin in your business. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guest today is Keith Gardner, who's the founder of Bronta, which is the first ever prepayment verification for Bitcoin so that you don't send your Bitcoin where you don't want it to go. Here is Keith. Keith, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Josh.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Yeah, let's do it.
Question number one is this: when and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
It was 2010 or 11. I was in English class in America, and I read about Ross Ulbricht on the Wired magazine. So I think that's a pretty common story, and that's how it happened for me. It wasn't until, gosh, probably 8-9 years later when I really fell down the hole.
Yeah. Question number two: what's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Yeah, this is one I think about a lot. So there's a misconception that Bitcoin is perhaps a bit of a dinosaur, that it's stagnant, unchanging. And in fact, I view this as 180 degrees opposite, in the sense that yes, Bitcoin is unchanging, but all the niceties around Bitcoin that touch Bitcoin are actually improving. And that's only possible because Bitcoin is unchanging.
Yeah. Question number three: what's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
Mr. Saif al-Din Amous's first book, The Bitcoin Standard.
Have you read all of his books so far?
I stopped reading, actually.
Okay.
Probably 4 years ago. People may judge that hard, but it's true. I don't really read anymore. So I read The Bitcoin Standard, and then I read The Fiat Standard, and that was just enough. I just wanted to build after that.
So when you say stop reading, you mean like Bitcoin-specific books? It wasn't some sort of like line in the sand when it comes to reading anything, or what? What exactly was the cause of that, I guess?
Yeah. Philosophy time. So I had read a lot in my, in my teens and in my 20s, I've read a lot. And I felt like there was a massive imbalance and bias for knowledge, not enough action. So I said, look, if I don't know enough by now to go do some cool stuff and touch lives, I'm never going to make it. Like, how many books do you really need to read before you just start something? So I just really wanted to focus on action, and I'd really look forward to picking up literature again later on. Like, I love the classics, like Hemingway, Oscar Wilde, some of the Greek epics. Literature is beautiful, and I look forward to entering that again.
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I definitely think the bias for action is lacking, and maybe more so in our generation than ever before. So I do appreciate that. I love learning, but if you don't ever put in action, it really doesn't count for all that much. Question number four is this: beyond Bitcoin, what's a resource, tool, or idea that's been helpful to you or your work recently?
I mean, I think collaboration is good, like other people, I would say. So maybe that's a shortcut answer, but like other good people are probably the best resource, right? In meaning like relationships, symbiotic relationships, where actually your incentives are aligned. And what I'm really saying is like a team working on a product. So, you know, podcasts they're great because you have access to thoughts, but you cannot really interact with them and speak back. And you can't go, you know, close deals or achieve technical milestones. But the best resource, honestly, is the people I work with right now.
Now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question, and it's this: as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
Yeah, I can't lie. So I just listened to your pod with Stephen Cole, and he said why not? And I agree with him for the reason of bias towards action that you don't achieve if you do why. Like if you do why, you often perhaps look inward or get very philosophical, which is great, and maybe you can be the next Plato or Aristotle, maybe not. Maybe there's roles in life where you do want damage control. So maybe you're the type of person who's much more detail-oriented, inward-looking, organizational, perhaps, less expansionary, more on the defensive. And then why is a great principle, right? So my personality leans much more towards offense or, you know, expanding, building outwardly. That doesn't necessarily maintain the system. So perhaps to maintain a system, you need to ask why. And I'm going to keep riffing here. So on the example of maintaining a system, you can think about Bitcoin, the protocol, maintaining a system. Why change that system? With the Bitcoin, the protocol, you actually want to be defensive, right? But if you're trying to achieve something different and you don't really need to worry about damage control as much, perhaps in the early days, or you just want to level up in your life, why not is the appropriate mindset.
Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at veluscommerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. Well, Keith, we're here today to talk about, I guess, something that is sort of a why not for you, which is your business, Bronta. If you could break it down for us, what do you guys do and how are you helping businesses?
Yeah, let's do it. So this is a fun one because we're still introducing ourselves, right? So Bronta's new. Probably most listeners have not heard of it. Now, the way Bronta started was I asked myself, how would I steal my own Bitcoin? And in short, the answer was I would trick myself into where I'm paying. It's like phishing or frauds or scams, right? And the question in short really spiraled into how would I fix that forever? And so that's what Bronta does. Bronta lets you verify who you're paying is who you think you're paying. The way I think about Bitcoin as a currency, right, is there's kind of four core operations on it today. You can buy, sell. That's in relation to other currencies. And then you can send and receive. And that's in relation to the same currency of Bitcoin. So buy, sell, send, receive. And what we're introducing to the world is verify as the fifth operation that you can do with Bitcoin and Lightning. So you can buy, sell, send, receive. But then when you send, you can verify who you're sending to is in fact real and never get scammed again. That's our mission.
So is this something that primarily businesses will want to use, or is this something that you would have on the personal side as well?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, and it's actually a really interesting dance. Now, our core customer set are businesses. So Bronta really serves businesses who let their customers touch and interact with Bitcoin.
I think one of the questions here is, you mentioned on your website, you have both on-chain and Lightning. So How does Bronta differ for the two, or is it essentially the same process? I'm not as familiar with the interface, but you're certainly using two very different types of payment when it comes to on-chain versus Lightning.
Yeah, so we could get really, really technical and talk about like cryptographic assurances and kind of our model around that. We could also talk about, you know, just like the human side. I usually just lean towards the human side for these sorts of combos, and feel free to lead wherever you want. How I think of Bronta in verifying payment is if you go to Stake and Shake, who now accepts Bitcoin over Lightning, I believe with TriSpeed, you probably don't really care that much about verifying a $20 burger payment for your family or yourself or whatever. However, when you are moving hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars worth of Bitcoin, you do probably want to check that you're sending to the right place. So on-chain is definitely a clear use case. Lightning is as well as the network scales.
So I think there is some level, I wouldn't say this is a highly technical podcast, and I'm speaking not necessarily for the listener, but primarily for myself. That said, I think understanding a little bit about how it works would be useful for listeners. So if they're a business owner, they want to send and receive Bitcoin payments. How does Bronta fit into the flow?
Yeah, so great question. There's a technical integration to support Bronta. And then once the business is running Bronta, what happens is that all the users of that business, so say this is a payment gateway, now the whole business can offer to their customers a way to double check that the addresses are legit. And the real use case there is, like, it's great to send a really clean, nice invoice with different payment methods to somebody. But currently, there's no unified way to let people verify or double check that address against any other source. And so for this use case, in fact, Lightning and on-chain are, they're very similar, right? It's basically you're checking that this string, this Bitcoin address or the Lightning invoice, if it's Bolt 11, matches what you think. And so, yeah, it's nice for a number of reasons, right? Like, technically, if you're getting man-in-the-middle, you now have a way to check that, whereas before, you never did.
Yeah. So if a company's using it, is Bronta checking that information for them, or is it leading the user to verify the information for themselves? There's always that dance, you used that term, I think, a moment ago, that dance between trusting or verifying and not trusting. But then also at the same time, like, part of the issue is you want some assistance so that you don't make that mistake.
Yeah, that's a great question. And so the answer is that Bronta is generally unopinionated on that, and that is up to the platform. So we as a business provide the tools that businesses can adopt to either optionally like enable verification or to actually enforce the verification. Now, we don't want to impose our rule sets and actually block payments, and our design doesn't really permit that. We're much more focused on empower the user at home and protect the business such that the user can optionally choose the verified. And now, if the business feels that the use case for verifying is mandatory for the flow, so this could be like interbank transfers, this could be regulated spending accounts, this could be proprietary wallet software. Bronta does provide the tools to be used to actually block the payment. Now, that's not happening on chain. That's not happening at the Lightning protocol level. That's more at the application, like the software application level. And that would be very specific to the businesses, because end of the day, we're Bitcoiners. We deeply, deeply respect the privacy and the peer-to-peer nature of, you know, Bitcoin.
So one of the things you talked about earlier is the value of who you're working with and people who are working towards a common goal. So I'd be interested to hear a little bit about the early days of Bronta as far as how you've built out the team, who's involved, and some of those symbiotic relationships you found early on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first thing is that Bitcoiners are very passionate, right? And just to speak a little more perhaps on the spiritual side, because I think, like, people are very motivated by different things, right? And a lot of people want to work in Bitcoin and are actually willing to perhaps, you know, sacrifice a bit more fiat that they could be getting in the fiat world to work in Bitcoin. And that's actually a good trade, actually, numerically as well, right? Like, if you enter Bitcoin, you get in the network, you start living and breathing it more. These people are very talented. They're very smart. They're often humble. So it's like if somebody enters Bitcoin and doesn't get, like, booted within the first year by showing their colors, like, they're probably an amazing person or, like, a great person to work with in general. So the talent density is very high. There's a lot of alignment. So it's been very natural. It's been more interesting talking with candidates and just, you know, peers in the industry that are, you know, maybe newer to Bitcoin, want to perhaps get rid of their old fiat karma and enter Bitcoin because they understand for the next generation, this is the housing crisis solution. This is the fiat, the food degradation solution. So I've also seen that have a lot of respect for both. And, you know, my view is really that there's a lot of open space. So, yeah, and to speak about the Bronta team, like, we're small, we're lean. There's a lot of amazing tools today. We're very focused on being niche, serving the customer, moving fast with complete correctness, and, you know, we're growing. It's been amazing so far, honestly. Priceless.
And I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I saw that recently you're looking to hire. I don't know if you've made those hires yet, but are you looking to fill any more positions currently?
There's currently, and it may be down by the time this goes live, but there's a job posting for head of go-to-market. And that really involves building our internal systems to really deliver to more customers, ultimately to serve more people, and ultimately to help Bitcoin hyper-Bitcoinize and get to a medium of exchange, a more valuable store of value, et cetera. And so that hire is well in the process. That'll probably be closed, knock on wood, here shortly. Very blown away by the candidates, super impressed, humbled, have nothing but respect. We'll have some more job posts later this year. They won't be in the next month or so. Yeah.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth. Wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners.
So early days of business, there's always, you know, you're moving around, you're trying to find how you need to improve, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I guess my question here is, what have you found in the early days of Bronta as far as people who are interested in using what you have to offer? Is it certain industries? Obviously, Bitcoiners in general are going to want to use Bronta if they want to make sure that, you know, they have some payment verification. But are there certain industries, or do you anticipate there being a certain use case that makes Bronta particularly attractive?
Yeah, this is a great question. I could honestly talk about this all day. So my first thought there is, like, we do have a prioritization list. Now, that is largely based on, one, like, our network and who are the Bitcoiners who we chat with, who we love, who use their products. They see value in what we're doing. A lot of the conceptualization of Bronta actually came from conversations in early 2024. So this is relatively recent. This is not like a 203 multi-sig company from 7 years ago, right? This is new tech. So there's that, right? The prioritization, it depends on a lot of things, like company size, how big is the org, what is the due diligence, how good is the product market fit, all of that sort of stuff. One thing that we've been very surprised by, and my background as well is engineering. So I don't have a business background other than in Bitcoin. So perhaps this is not surprising, but every transaction in the world, except for barter, is one half money, right? And so that's why the payments industry is so big. That's why the total addressable market of payments of perhaps on-chain, but certainly Lightning, and even more so stable coins. We don't focus at all on stable coins today. Our hypothesis is very much on-chain Bitcoin, and then the L2s like Lightning. And probably shouldn't even say L2, just leave it at Lightning. So our focus is there. And I guess that's some thoughts.
So you raise a good point when it comes to stablecoins, or at least it makes me think, if you were to, does Bronta have any plans to provide verification when it comes to stablecoins? And if so, what does that look like? Is it stablecoins built off of Taproot or built on Taproot, or would you have to move into other chains? Because I feel like the weird thing is, if you want to have payment verification, there's not a whole lot of stable coins with Bitcoin at the core, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's right. I suspect there will be a lot more in the years to come. And, you know, like my longer term view is quite aligned with the dollar milkshake theory on how, you know, why is Tether successful? It's because, you know, people in developing countries can have access to dollars through their cell phone. And that's a better store of value than the local currencies. As the local currencies die, what is there, 90 plus fiats, 100 plus fiats? I actually don't know. But there's a lot of fiats. As they die, the dollar is the strongest, so it's the last man standing. And stable coins, Saif al-Din had a great talk about this recently. And I probably shouldn't be speaking on this, but our view, we're focused on Bitcoin, right? So what Bronta does is verify payments across time and space for whatever is the best value store. And we believe that's Bitcoin. Primarily on-chain, and then the beautifully complementary L2 networks like Lightning. So for stable coins, we have our eyes on them. And in fact, the way we have built the product is quite abstract to support other chains, perhaps stables. It's not our focus, and I'll probably leave it there.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's probably the safest thing to do for right now. So one of the things you mentioned before, you know, we started recording in preparation for this episode is talking about a BTC stack instead of a fiat stack. I'm not quite sure what you mean there when it comes to Bronta or just businesses in general, but I'd love to hear your musings when it comes to a BTC stack versus fiat stack.
Yeah. So I think this one's very important. And perhaps for all the whiskey enjoyers or the cigar or the wine enthusiasts out there, when you think of a really good mature product, like there's layers, right? That's kind of the definition of perhaps a good wine or even a good steak, is there's layers to the flavor and the complexity. And I view currencies as having the same sort of property. And as that currency matures, complementary natural products develop, I don't want to say in that ecosystem, but around that currency, right? And so much is happening so fast in Bitcoin, but the large view is really still on like, oh, the mempool's full, the mempool's empty. What's the throughput on the Lightning Network? Stuff like this. But in my view, that there's a lot of opportunity in other layers and components that will be built into these basically payment stacks. Obviously, on-chain and the mempool and the miners and the node runners are the tectonic plates. But if you look at fiat, there's so much going on. I don't need to go off and label all of these, but you know, all the different types of settlements you have, things like the banking holidays, right? Let alone the creation of the currency and lending and all of this. And you're seeing all these layers be built out right now in Bitcoin, and probably it's easy to underestimate with a simple view of, yes, everything's going to be on chain. We have digital scarcity and that's it. Maybe Lightning, boom, we're done. I don't think that's the case. I think we're going to be massively surprised by the different use cases coming out. You know, even if you do or don't agree with a lot of these things, there's other L2s being developed. There's eCash, there's Fedimints, there's possible UTXO sharing. There's different, you know, payment identifiers that can be built out. So I just think the Bitcoin ecosystem will have so many more layers than we can even see today. And Bronta certainly being one of them and actually leading a new industry niche, right? Payment verification, that's a need. So, you know, that's kind of my thoughts on the Bitcoin versus the fiat stack.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing how Bronta continues to grow. Previous to us being introduced, I hadn't heard of Bronta, but I definitely see the value of it for businesses especially. What are some final thoughts you would have for listeners and some places people can go to keep up with you and what Bronta's doing as you continue to develop your products?
Yeah, you know, the final thought that I have is like, we want to build a product that's very seamless. So like, we don't want you to sign up. We don't want your email, no more apps, no more usernames, none of that. Like our goal and our definition of success is to like, let anybody sending money, right? Say you're moving 500K around, you're moving 10K around, you're buying a car, down payment on your mortgage. You should have a very frictionless, high confidence way to verify that, yeah, you're actually putting your down payment down to the right people. So that's our vision. And so, you know, as Brancha rolls out, you know, at least right now, our strategy is not really to be very loud and make a splash. It's contribute to Bitcoin in the three functions of money, right? That's what we want to do. Store value, medium of exchange, unit of account. And if we're successful, you know, every payment will be verified, whether that's by Brancha or someday far in the future by a competitor. And ultimately, that adds value to all the parties involved. It reduces risk. It increases confidence. It reduces emotionality around interfacing with digital scarcity, which today is actually quite emotional. It's very anxiety ridden. It's very, it gives apprehension, things like this. So, you know, we're rolling out and it'll be relatively quiet. But when you do feel like you're moving a lot of money and you do want to verify, even if that's between exchanges, this sort of thing, you'll have an option to just have that address shown back to you. Cool, you're good. On your way, boom, you don't even really know we're here.
And where can people go to keep up with Brancha?
Well, our website's brancha.pro. We're also on Twitter and Noster. We're not super active, but that'll pick up throughout the rest of 2025 as well.
Sounds good. Well, Keith, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Bitcoin Playbook. If you want to reach out to either me or Keith, you can find those links down in the show notes. And if Brancha sounds like it would be a good fit for your business, check out brancha.pro. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.